The formula is short enough to memorize on the walk home from the grocer. 1 kilogram of vegetable, 20 grams of fine non-iodized salt, enough cool water to submerge everything once it is packed, 1 wide-mouth glass jar of approximately 1 liter capacity. That is the entire shopping list, and it is also the entire equipment list. 3 days later, at ordinary room temperature, you will have produced something that is recognizably a pickle, sour, bright, lightly fizzy in the brine, and biochemically identical to sauerkraut, kimchi, traditional dill pickles, Japanese shiozuke, and the bulk of the world's vegetable preserves before refrigeration. There is no simpler way to learn what fermentation actually is, and there is no substitute for the learning that happens when you make it yourself. The math behind 2% salt deserves a sentence of explanation, because once you understand it, the formula stops feeling like a recipe and starts feeling like a physical law. Lactobacillus bacteria, which are the organisms responsible for the souring you are about to engineer, are salt tolerant in a way that most of their competitors are not. At a salt concentration of around 2% by weight, the species you want, Leuconostoc and various lactobacillus strains, present on the skin of nearly every fresh vegetable, outcompete the molds, yeasts, and putrefactive bacteria that would otherwise spoil the jar. Lower salt, under 1.5%, tips the competition the wrong way and invites mold. Higher salt, above 3%, slows even the lactobacillus until the ferment crawls. The 2% figure is not a tradition. It is the calibrated window in which the biology cooperates. For 1 kilogram of vegetable plus brine, you want roughly 20 grams of salt total. The precise math depends slightly on how much water you add, but for a packed jar that submerges with just enough water to cover, 20 grams hits the target. The vegetables are forgiving in a way that surprises first-time fermenters. Cucumbers, preferably small and firm and unwaxed, will give you a classic crunchy half-sour pickle in 3 to 5 days. Cabbage, sliced thin and rubbed lightly with the salt before being packed, becomes a quick sauerkraut. Carrots take a touch longer, usually 5 days for noticeable sourness, 7 for fully developed, and produce a pickle that hovers somewhere between vegetable and confection. Daikon and other radishes ferment briskly, with a peppery edge that mellows into something cleaner across a week. Cauliflower, turnip, kohlrabi, green tomatoes, beans, peppers, all of them work. The 2% rule does not care about the substrate. It is a number describing a brine, and the brine is the actual fermenting agent. The vegetable is, in a sense, just the structure the bacteria are colonizing. Pack the jar firmly. A clove of garlic, a sprig of dill, a slice of fresh ginger, a few black peppercorns, a bay leaf are optional and pleasant. Pour the brine, made by dissolving the salt in cool, unchlorinated water, over the vegetables until everything is covered with at least a centimeter to spare. Then weight the contents down. This single step is the difference between a successful jar and a moldy one. Lactic acid bacteria are anaerobic. They want darkness and submersion. Mold and calm yeast are aerobic. They want the air above the brine. Anything floating above the surface, a stray cabbage leaf, a curl of carrot, will develop a fuzzy white or gray colony within 48 hours that can spoil the jar. The cheap and effective solution is a smaller glass jar filled with water and dropped on top, holding everything under. Purpose-made glass fermentation weights work. A clean stone works. The first pickle I made when I was learning, in a small apartment kitchen in Kyoto in my early 20s, was weighted with a saucer and a tin can of tomatoes. The technology is indifferent. The submersion is non-negotiable. The timing is governed by temperature, not by the clock. At 20 to 22 degrees Celsius, the indoor temperature of most homes in spring and autumn, you will have a soft, gently sour pickle by day 3 to 5. By day 7 to 10, the sourness deepens, the brine carbonates noticeably, and the flavor sharpens into something that reads more clearly as fermented. Beyond 2 weeks at room temperature, most vegetables soften past the texture I prefer for table use, though they remain safe and excellent in cooked applications. At 28 degrees Celsius, a hot summer kitchen, the ferment accelerates by roughly a factor of 2, and you will lose the window of crispness within a day if you are not paying attention. At 15 degrees Celsius, a cool winter kitchen or a basement, the same ferment will take 10 to 14 days to reach the same point. Taste daily. Refrigerate when you like it. Refrigeration does not stop fermentation, but it slows it by roughly an order of magnitude, giving you weeks of stable plateau. The full physics of why temperature matters more than time is the subject of a separate essay. But for the first jar, you only need to know. Warmer is faster, cooler is slower, and the only reliable signal is your tongue. How do you know it's done? 3 diagnostics, all reliable. The first is taste. The brine and the vegetable transition audibly to the palate, from salty water with vegetable to sour, vegetal, almost effervescent. The shift happens cleanly. You will feel it. The second is the brine itself. Cloudy is correct. That is the bacterial bloom, and small bubbles rising from the jar over a day is the most welcome sign that the biology is doing exactly what it should. The third is smell. A finished lactoferment smells clean, bright, vaguely sour, and unmistakably food. It does not smell of alcohol. If you ever smell yeast or solvent, you have a calm yeast contamination from poor submersion, and the batch is worth tasting, but probably not worth keeping. It does not smell of sulfur or putrefaction. If it does, the seal failed in some way, and the jar should be discarded without further inquiry. The human nose, as Sandor Katz documents at length in The Art of Fermentation, is well calibrated for this judgment. Bad ferments smell unambiguously bad. The cases in between are vanishingly rare, and they are almost always salvageable by lifting out a moldy top layer and tasting what is below. For the safety cautious, and you should be cautious, because there is a generation of home cooks who are warned away from fermentation by a culture that conflated it with botulism risk, the pH number that matters is 4.2. A finished lacto-fermented vegetable should read between 3.4 and 4.2 on a pH strip, well below the 4.6 threshold under which Clostridium botulinum cannot grow. Cheap pH strips, the kind described in How to Use pH Strips Without Overthinking It, are perfectly adequate for the test. One strip on day one, you should read 6 to 7. One strip when you think it is done, you should read 3.4 to 4.2. And you have a quantitative answer to the question that smell and taste have already answered qualitatively. It is, in the food safety sense, a solid baseline. Nothing made under 4.2, with the submersion rule observed, has any plausible pathway to becoming dangerous. The fear that vegetable fermentation might silently produce botulinum toxin is, for properly acidified lactoferments, mathematically misplaced. What you will discover when you open the jar on day 4 or 5 and taste a slice of cucumber for the first time is that there was nothing you actually did. The salt, the water, the vegetable, the thyme, these arranged a condition under which an unsupervised biology did its own work. The cookbook framing of fermentation, which treats it as a technique you must master, gets the situation backward. You did not make this. You arranged a room in which it could be made. The full version of that argument is the subject of How to Start Simple Pickles at Home, which I would point you toward as the next reading once your first jar is open. The salt's particular role in choreographing that biology is detailed in How Salt Controls Fermentation, but the reading is the easy part. The first jar is the lesson you cannot replicate any other way.